came to Krishna consciousness? Because everyone always likes that story, right? You know, that was one of Prabhupada's favorite... What's that? Oh, that's the setting. Okay. Yeah, if you have a mobile phone, please turn it off. And I'll have to say that every time someone walks through the door. Mobile phone off. Tray tables in the upright position, seat belts fastened. You know, they say that in the airplane, right? So, I joined the Hare Krishna movement before many of you were born. Who was alive in 1970?
I was just born.
You were just born. Of course, life is eternal, so we were all somewhere. But
no, in this body.
Oh, okay.
In this body.
In this body, okay. Okay. So, how many of you... Uh-oh, what's that? Okay. How many of you saw Srila Prabhupada? Nobody. Okay. So I'm one of those endangered species. Right. But as I was saying before we started chanting, it's not a matter really of having seen him. It's a matter of hearing him. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, some look on the soul as amazing, some hear of him as amazing, and some describe him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. So it's like that with Srila Prabhupada. Some people hear about Prabhupada, maybe they even saw him. Maybe they were even initiated by him. Maybe they, you know, they can describe him, but to really understand Prabhupada, that's a gift, it's a blessing. It comes from following him. So you see the title of the seminar is Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. He's not just the Diksha Guru of 4,800 people who were in the 1960s and 1970s. That's not who Prabhupada is. Let's get him. Come on in. Please. I want you to sit right there. Yeah. So you don't fly away. Usually everybody sits... You know, human nature means everybody wants to go to the back, right, and hide. that's not... Prabhupada isn't, you know, he's not just a previous acharya, he's not just... You know, for example, when people would ask him, who are you? He would say, my name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and I am the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He never said, I'm the Diksha Guru of 4,800 ex-hippies. He never said that. So that's the whole point, that if we want ISKCON to go on for 10,000 years, it's a long time. I mean, in terms of our time, it's just a blink in Brahma's time, but it's a long time, you know, in our time. And we really have to understand how we share the same core identity. We're all Prabhupada Anugas, you know. We have many different gurus and god families and zones, but foundationally, you know, that's why I'm doing the seminar. Because we have a lot of... Have you noticed in ISKCON we have a lot of diversity? Have you noticed that? It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? We have diversity coming out of our eyes and our ears and our nose and every other place, but we need more unity. And Prabhupada, he provides the unity amidst all of our dizzying diversity. So that's the title, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. And then, celebrating Srila Prabhupada's preeminent... What does preeminent mean? It's a English word. Anybody... know what that means? Raise your hand.
Sort of a prime position.
Yes, preeminent position. Main. He's the main... Think of him like a pivot around which everyone turns. In all those relationships we have with our shiksha gurus and our diksha gurus and our friends and our family and, you know, If we're all revolving around Prabhupada, then those are healthy relationships. And if anybody who's enriching our relationship with Prabhupada, those are the most important people in our lives. You know, our spiritual masters, our whoever they are. Anybody who's enriching our relationship with our founder Acharya, is that's important. And that goes for me too. Just because I'm initiated by Prabhupada doesn't mean it's just about me and Prabhupada. No, I need help. I need, you know, I need people enriching my relationship with Prabhupada. And I need to enrich others too. That's why, you know what Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction? He says he created ISKCON to foster the six loving exchanges. Uh-oh, this isn't going to work. You want to do that? No, I got it. Here you go, you can wear that. Prabhupada says in the purport to NOI text 4, you know text 4? Dadati patigrinati guhyamakyati prichati bhungte bojayate chaiva shadvidham pritilakshanam. The six loving exchanges. What do we exchange? We exchange gifts, we exchange confidential thoughts, and we exchange prasad,
bojayate.
So Prabhupada said the whole reason he created ISKCON was to foster, enhance those loving exchanges. That's, wow. That's big. That means that's what we're supposed to be about. Okay. So we're celebrating Srila Prabhupada's preeminent position. We're not banging people over the head with it.
Did you know that Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya Prabhu? We're going to put Prabhupada back in the center, you know.
Yeah, you know, people beat you over the head with that. No, we're not. We're just celebrating it. We're not. And we're also celebrating every follower's foundational relationship with him. It's his books we're studying. It's and distributing. It's his mission we're prosecuting, and it's his murti we worship every day. So everybody has a foundational relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That's what founder acharya means, as you will see more and more. Okay, so, okay, any questions about the title? There's Srila Prabhupada in a famous painting. And Prabhupada's meditating on Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And so the title and the subtitle are the aims of the whole 10-lesson seminar. What I'm doing is I'm starting tonight because actually this weekend I was supposed to go to Dubai, but they're not quite ready yet. So I'm going to just practice here, presenting the lessons, and I'm going to give as many as I can until it's time to go to Dubai. And then I'll go to Dubai, and then I think when I come back in January, I think we'll have a bigger venue maybe. Maybe we'll do it. And there's a hall. We have a hall. Yeah. This is just... So you're like... Preview. You're getting sneak preview of the whole seminar. And I actually haven't given the seminar in several months. So I'm getting rusty. I need practice too. Okay. Here's how the seminar flows. Here's an overview. There's a famous photograph of Srila Prabhupada. That's the photograph that really spoke to me when I was a young man, and really I thought, wow, this is my spiritual master. Sambandha, the seminar follows the classic Vedantic progression of Sambandha, which means knowledge of the relationship. So in the Sambandha lessons, we're deepening our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, awareness of his position. Tonight's lesson is called The Spiritual Masters. Notice the plural. Where did I take that title, Dino? That's the title of a chapter in a book that we read. Do you know? In the
Prabhupada Lila?
No, there is an Amrit book though. It's Chaitanya Charitamrit. The very first chapter. Kaviraja Goswami. The spiritual. No, and it's plural. Notice it's plural. Okay? And tomorrow night, same time. I think tomorrow night we'll just, yeah, we'll come at 6:45, and that's early enough. We're going to look at a special kind of spiritual master, someone who's so exalted and rare that he's a master of masters. He's a Prabhupada. He's a master at whose feet all the Prabhus sit. He's a Prabhupada. We're going to look at that principle, the founder acharya principle, and especially with a focus on our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, how it principle manifested in the Gaudiya branch of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya, the Gaudiya extension of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And then we're going to look at how our founder acharya, our Prabhupada, fulfilled that role of founder acharya like no one ever has that we know of. He did what no one ever did. That's the Sambandha lessons. That's this weekend. And then if we continue, if Dubai continues to be tardy, we'll go to the Abhideya section of the seminar, lesson 4. And Abhideya means you, now that you, once you realize your relationship, then you act in the relationship, you execute the relationship. So in our case, we're going to deepen our commitment to Prabhupada's mission. Lesson 4, his mission's roots. Where did it start? We start all the way back in Prabhupada's first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then continuing the horticultural metaphor, we see how those roots manifested in a branch, a fresh branch of the Sampradaya, ISKCON. Prabhupada writes in the CC that ISKCON is a branch of Lord Chaitanya's desire tree of love of God. And then we're going to look at an unfulfilled phase of Prabhupada's mission, Varnashram, his Varnashram challenge. And then finally, in the last lesson of Abhideya, we look at how to find our own personal mission within his greater mission. Prabhupada has there's so many aspects to Prabhupada's mission. So we all have a particular contribution to make. And how do we go about finding our best contribution? So that's Abhideya. And once we commit more to the mission, then we're qualified to talk about deepening our love for Prabhupada, Prayojana, knowledge, process, results. So the result is deepening love. And lesson 8, to love is to cooperate. And that was a famous saying by Prabhupada, not just at the end of his life. Many of us have heard of that. Did you know that Prabhupada said that? If you love me, it'll be proven, shown by how you cooperate once I'm gone. And then lesson 9, it's a different kind of lesson. Did you ever hear the word exorcise? Not exercise, but exorcise. When you exorcise, what do? You cast out demons when you exorcise. You ever hear of an exorcist?
Yes.
He's someone who gets rid of ghosts and demons. You know this in Tantra, right? There's tantric arts. So we look at misconceptions about Prabhupada that we may have. Sentimental misconceptions, impersonal misconceptions that we might not even be aware of, that we had them. And then we exorcise them, we identify them, and then we dispel them and get rid of them. And once we do that, we can enter into an authentic, real relationship with Srila Prabhupada. It's called your Srila Prabhupada. We all have that, at least potential, to have a deep relationship with our founder acharya. He's inviting us all, as he is in that picture. That picture, to me, is still so inviting. It's full of compassion. Do you know how that picture came to be taken? Anybody know the story? Well, Prabhupada, he started... Where did he start ISKCON? Do you know where he started it?
In New York.
In New York. I was born about 20 blocks from where he started that 26 Second Avenue. 20 years earlier. He started in 66. I was born in 46. So, what was I going to say? Oh, so then at Prabhupada, he incorporated ISKCON in July 66. And then in January 67, what did Prabhupada do? Do you know? He left the place. He flew away. If you've read the Leela, how many people have read the Leelamrita? Yeah? Have you read it? Good. How many have read the unabridged? Okay. Fewer hands, right? You just read the one volume? That's a good start, but it's good if you read the unabridged. Oh, it's amazing. So anyway, so Prabhupada in January 67, he flew away from New York. And where did he go?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. And he started the second chapter. And then when he left, the people of the devotees in New York said, oh, we're so lonely, we don't know what to do. And Prabhupada said, well, just follow my instructions. And you can put a picture of me on my seat, you know, when you're chanting in the morning. And then they said, well, we don't have a picture. So Prabhupada said, oh, okay. So they called him Swamiji then. Okay, Swamiji said, okay. So Prabhupada, one of his new students out in San Francisco was a good photographer. His name was Roger Siegel. And Roger set up some shots, you know, and they became famous pictures. And then Roger was later initiated as Guru Das, who has probably been here. Has he ever visited Mirror Road? You know Guru Das?
Yes.
It's Jamuna's, the late Jamuna's former husband. Has he been here? He's been in Chaupati, I'm sure.
First time come, he has come here to think Bhaktivedanta, and sometimes he didn't take it. He might have come to see Sridhar Maharaj also.
Okay.
Those
yeah.
Many
here. He was Roger that took the picture. Okay, so over the next, okay. So that's the flow of the seminar. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Deepen our relationship with Prabhupada, commit more to the mission, deepen our love for Prabhupada. Now, lesson one, tonight's lesson, the spiritual masters. So there is Kaviraj Goswami. How old is he, do you know? When he's writing Chaitanya Charitamrita? He's in his 90s, and his hand is shaking. We would say now, oh, he has Parkinson's, so he's palsied, you know. You see devotees in my generation, they're getting like Hari Shari Prabhu's handshakes, you know. He's right, he's being empowered to write the definitive biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the very first verse of the whole Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Bande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isha Misha Vatarakan Bande Gurun. Listen to this, look at this. Bande Mahi Prabhu, why don't you read that?
I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual masters.
Yes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual masters. And Prabhupada comments just on the first two words. Prabhupada writes, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami uses the plural here to indicate the disciplic succession. He offers obeisances not to his spiritual master alone. And who is Kaviraj Goswami's initiating spiritual master? Do you know? It's a little controversial, actually. There's different opinions. Most people say, what? What do you think? Swarup Damodar?
Raghunath
Das. Yeah, he's a Shiksha Guru. Rupa too, Rupa Raghunath. They were Shiksha Gurus for Kaviraj Goswami. But it's definitely implied, if not downright, I have to go back to the text, but his initiating guru is Lord Achyananda, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So he's of the category of Godhead, but he still, even though his Diksha Guru is God himself, he doesn't just single him out and just offer his respects just to him. But he offered, but he, to the whole parampara, Prabhupada says, but to the whole parampara, the chain of disciplic succession beginning with Lord Krishna himself. So now, to deepen our understanding of Srila Prabhupada's position as our founder acharya, let's first look briefly at Srila Prabhupada's presentation of the Guru, how the Guru is one, and how the Guru is many. Guru is one, Guru is many. Yes, in this first lesson we'll examine how all bona fide Gurus are one, how they're all the same, and also how they're different, and how they're also one and different from Lord Krishna, the original Guru. Okay, so here's how we wade into the topic. I was lucky enough to be right there at Prabhupada's feet. You know, that's New Vrindavan, the first ISKCON farm community, 1972. Prabhupada is holding what he called Bhagavad Dharma discourses for the public. It's right around Janmashtami Vyasa Puja time. And it's 1972, so how old is the Hare Krishna movement in 1972?
6 years.
6 years old. And now the public has seen, even though we look strange to them, right? And we smell funny, and we sound different, we're not going away. We didn't just come in and land from another planet and then fly away. No, we're here to stay. And so they're wondering, well, who's responsible for this? So Prabhupada said, you should invite them to New Vrindavan, where it's nice open spaces, and we're going to have Bhagavad Dharma discourses. So the devotees invited all these politicians and these scholars and media people. So the New York Times was there, and the congressmen were there, and the scholars were there. There was about 1,000 devotees and guests. They wanted to meet the Hare Krishna Guru. Who's responsible for all this singing and dancing in the streets? What is this? All right. So, so when you hear the word guru nowadays in the media, on the TV or on the internet or on the radio or on the billboards, well, maybe it's different in India because India is the land of gurus. But see if you can, even if you read the Times of India, you'll hear it. How is the word guru very often used? Don't think of anything spiritual. What do they mean when they say guru in the media very often? Okay, that's still too elevated. What do they mean when they say guru sometimes in the media?
Sometimes they say that business guru.
Yes, right. Vanamali Prabhu, read that.
Popularly a person who has knowledge or expertise. Expert, example, a sports guru.
Yeah, you said business guru. So that's very often how the word has passed into the language now, in a very non-spiritual way. It just means expert. That's all right. Like, I was at the post office not long ago, and it was a kind of complicated transaction, so the postal clerk said, "Just a minute, Mr. Hall. This is a rather complicated transaction. To complete this, I'm going to have to call up my postal guru." So she called up her supervisor, and the supervisor told her how to complete the transaction. Okay, so that's one level of the word guru. Another level is gurus in nature. You remember in the Bhagavatam where that's talked about?
Yes.
Where is that?
11th canto.
Yes. So let's read that.
Naturally, a teacher in nature, example, a tree teaches tolerance.
Right. The Avanti Brahmana in the 11th canto said he had 24 gurus. Right? So we learn a lot just by looking at nature, because nature is Krishna's energy, and actually Krishna devotes many verses in the Gita to describing how we can see him through his nature energies. Right? and the light of the sun and the moon, the taste of the water. There's a whole chapter, text chapter 10, texts 20 through 40, the opulence of the absolute, Vibhuti Yoga. The fishes, I am the shark, you know, purifiers, I am the wind. So that's nature. You can learn a lot from nature. A tree teaches tolerance. Now, what does the word guru mean literally in Sanskrit? Guru. Anybody know?
Who is heavy.
Very good. Read that.
Literally, one who is heavy with knowledge.
Right. Not heavy in kilos. I can't do that very well. I'm so skinny. And now we're going to hear Prabhupada define the word guru perfectly, completely. Let's see if it's going to work. Prabhupada's quoting Mundaka Upanishad, I believe. Tad bhigana tam sugurum eva bhigarche. He was always quoting this. Also, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shriya uttamam. Now, so what is a guru? Now, even if we know what a guru is, do we know why we need a guru? A lot of people say you don't need a guru. Right? That's the modern mentality. Who needs a guru? I don't know. I'll do it myself, right? Why do we need a guru? Now, raise your hand if you can tell us the verse that matches this picture. And don't tell me tad vidhi. Look at Arjuna's face. And tad vidhi is spoken by Krishna.
It's in the second chapter, slope number 7.
Let's all sing it. Karpanya dosho pahatatsvat prichami tvam dharma sambuddha chetat yasche yatsya nischitam bruhitam me shishyaste ham shadi mantvam prapanna. Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now, I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Please. Now, Prabhupada starts the purport. Vanamali Prabhu is going to read a little bit of the purport here.
By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is source of perplexity for everyone. In every step, there is perplexity, and therefore it behoves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, behooves? That's really Prabhupada's using. Prabhupada learned English when Queen Victoria was still alive. It's kind of archaic. It means it's in our interest. It's good for us to do that. It behooves one. It's in our interest. Yeah, we need a guru because life is so confusing. I mean, even to learn how to tie your shoes, you need a guru. You need Guru Ma. And why do we say mother tongue? Because we learn our language. We learn the first language we learn is from our mother. We need a language guru, right? And yet, Kali Yuga is such a dishonest age that people think that when it comes to the highest thing, the science of the truth, we think we can just make it up, do it ourselves. So we need a guru because we need a guru for everything, especially when it comes to the absolute truth, right? Even to tie our shoes, we need a guru. Okay, So once we understand why we need a guru, it is important we connect with a genuine guru to whom we can surrender. Of course, in one sense, all genuine gurus are similar. All right, let's look at how gurus are similar, how they're one. All right, how is the guru one? So before I flash the answer on there, there is Krishna playing his celebrated flute. Can anyone rate? Okay, how is the guru one?
Guru is a tattva.
Yeah, but how are all gurus one?
Because Krishna is the original guru, and from him the teachings come.
Right, the message is the same. That's how all gurus. If gurus are real gurus, if they're authentic, they're all saying the same thing. All right, so Vanamali, you win the prize again.
The guru is one because he comes to the disciplinary succession. What Vyasadeva and Krishna taught 5,000 years ago is also being taught now. There is no difference between the two instructions. Although hundreds and thousands of acharyas have come and gone, the message is one.
Yeah, you don't have to read that. You can see. So, and you'll see as the seminar goes along, and even in this lesson, that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, the whole parampara, they're inviting us to participate in the disciplic succession and also be gurus. We're all supposed to grow up, and today's student is supposed to be tomorrow's teacher. So that's a great responsibility. I mean, Prabhupada is saying here, what Vyas and Krishna taught 5,000 years ago is also being taught now. But if I say something in Prabhuji's ear, and you say it in his ear, and you say it in his ear, what do they call that game?
Chinese whisper.
Yes, I never knew that until I went to Australia. You know what we call it in America? We call it the telephone game. And then it gets around, and then you whisper it to me, it'll probably be different. Why? Because we have, what, four defects, right? We make mistakes, we have imperfect senses, we're illusion, we cheat. So that means we got some work to do, right, before we're qualified to pass on the message intact as it is. So although the message is one, although one in message with Krishna, all genuine gurus, they're also different. So let's look at how gurus are different. In one sense, they're one because they have the same message. But in another sense, they're different. All right. So let's see. Anand, do you want to read?
By all, the initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different views.
So they're one because they're equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, but they have different dealings. What does that mean, they have different dealings? Let's find out. So there was one great devotee. You know when you sing Gaurarti, we say, Nara Hari Adi Kori Shamaradulaya. Who's that? Srila Narahari Sarkar. Thakur. He wrote a book. He wasn't always just fanning Lord Chaitanya. He also wrote a book called Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita. It's only about 60, 70 verses, but there's a lot about the relationship between guru and disciple. Here's what Sri Krishna, or Srila Narahari Sarkar says. We're going to get an idea about how gurus are different. Quote, a faith, now this is an old example. Maybe it's still true in some parts of India, but I don't know about Mumbai. Quote, a faithful son may go out for earning money and then bring to his father the wealth gained. Is that still true? Forget it, right? That's like 500 years ago, right? That's Lord Chaitanya's time. Then later, the son may ask for some allowance from the father. And whatever he receives from the father, he is entitled to spend on himself. That's really once upon a time, right? Now, so that's And then Narahari Sarkar says, similarly, so there's an analogy here, a disciple may hear some instructions from another advanced Vaishnav, but after gaining that good instruction, he must bring it and present it to his own spiritual master. He should then hear the same teaching gained from his own spiritual master with appropriate instruction. So we're always hearing things, right? We're always hearing. But if we want to know if what we're hearing is true, we should take it to our guru or our gurus. Right, remember? Guru is one, guru is many. Bande gurun. So, I make an observation here. Listen to this. In ISKCON's global family, initiating gurus are like parents. It's very much a parental relationship, gurus and disciples. And instructing gurus are like well-wishing relatives, like uncles and aunties. At the same time, their importance in our lives depends on the relationships we develop with them. Sometimes we are closer to our parents, and sometimes we become closer to our uncles and aunties. If all our well-wishers serving cooperatively in our founder Acharya's mission, harmony prevails. Do you know an example from Gaudiya Vaishnava history of somebody who became closer to a Shiksha guru of his than his own initiating spiritual master? Do you know any examples? Right in our parampara, there's an example. Just a few generations within the last 100 years. Was initiated by whom? I'm trying to think now too. Who was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's initiating? Wasn't it? No, he took Shiksha from Bhaktivinod. I don't know who was. But I was thinking of Bhaktivinod. Who was his initiating guru? Bipin Bihari Goswami. But over time, Bhaktivinod Thakur took a little distance from him because they had some deep disagreements. And this happens over a couple of issues. One issue was that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a mission to establish once and for all the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And Bipin Bihari Goswami, because he was from the other side of the river, he was saying that Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip. But Bhaktivinoda knew through his research and his intuition that actually he appeared in Mayapur. And who confirmed it? Jagannath Sarvabhauma, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, Jagannath Das Babaji, whom Bhaktivinoda Thakur over time came to accept him more as his more prominent guru. That's why when you look in the parampara list, you know who made that parampara list? Who made that list? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made that list. That's the Bhagavat Acharya Sampradaya. And in the list, before Bhaktivinoda, you see Jagannath Das Babaji. That's a Shiksha line. That's not a line of initiators and initiated. And we'll be looking at that next lesson. So, gurus have different dealings. Some more parental, some more relative. We're going to see now. So that's one way they differ. They differ by the role they play. Another way gurus differ are by, let's see. Prabhu, you want to read? Can you see that?
Okay. By qualification, a person who is a liberated acharya and guru cannot commit any mistake. But there are persons who are less qualified, are not liberated, but still can act as guru and acharya by strictly following the disciple succession.
Right. That was in a letter, an early ISKCON letter, 1968. Prabhupada is saying there, a non-liberated soul can be a guru. Wow! Holy cow! What's going on here? What's the qualification, Prabhupada said? If they strictly follow. Now, sometimes people don't place as much faith in letters because very often Prabhupada was speaking just according to a time and place and a person, and they kind of minimize the value of that. But here in the Bhaktivedanta purport, we hear Prabhupada saying the same thing. Quote, "This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are," here it is, "strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of the material nature." If we strictly follow, one can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by, here it is again, strictly following his instructions. So gurus differ by qualifications. Some of them are, you know, liberated souls, some of them are non-liberated. But if they're all following their gurus strictly, that's the qualification. And again, for those of you who didn't hear me say it, I do have notes covering all the points electronically, and you're going to get them later. So don't worry about frantically trying to copy down a point. But you can write down questions, because we're going to have question and answer session at the end. Right now I'm asking you the questions. At the end you ask me questions. Okay. So, observation. Liberated and or non-liberated, a guru is genuine if he, quote, strictly follows the orders of Guru and Krishna. In this way, according to one's capacity, everyone can become a guru and please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And here's a Prabhupada quote. Listen to this. This is an example of how we're supposed to have millions of gurus in ISKCON. All right? Millions. Quote, "Because people are in darkness, we require many millions of gurus to enlighten them. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is," he said, "that every one of you become guru." Where did he say that? Amara gyai guru hanya, by my order. Taraidesh, save this neighborhood, save this city, save this country. According to, people have different capacities. But teach, spread, give shelter, not just receive shelter, give shelter. And then Prabhupada says, "And if you think, but I have no qualification, how can I become guru? There is no need of qualification. Still, I can become guru?" "Yes." "How?" "Whomever you meet, you simply instruct what Krishna has said. That's all. You become guru." You see how Prabhupada is... This is 19... He said this in 1976 in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's trying to get his neophyte disciples to grow up and give shelter, not just receive shelter, because he knows he's going to leave soon. That was about a year and a half before he left. Okay, so gurus differ by the role they play in our lives, by the level of qualification they have, and they also differ another way. Let's take a look at another way they differ. By commitment. You want to read?
"By commitment, the spiritual master who first gives information about spiritual life is called the Varkuma Pradarshaka Guru. The spiritual master who initiates according to the regulations of the Shastras is called the Diksha Guru, and the spiritual master who gives instructions for elevation is called the Shiksha Guru."
Notice the progression here. The introducer first gives the introducer, the initiator, and the instructor. Notice the progression. Introduce, initiate, instruct. Why that progression? Because whatever a guru is doing, whatever kind of guru the guru is, the guru is always teaching. Even if the guru doesn't open his or her mouth, the example that the guru is showing is very powerful. In fact, some people would say that's the only teaching, by example. Just like my legendary godbrother, Vishnu Jana Swami. Ever heard of that name? Haribo, Haribo, Go Nityananda Bo, Haribo. Famous kirtans. This person could chant all day with a drum. He was like superhuman. Anyway, he once, he was in Mayapur, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to get on one of those little boats in the Ganga with a party of men and just sail up and down the Ganga and chant Hare Krishna and enliven the villagers. But I don't speak their language. So Prabhupada said, oh, they don't care what you say. They don't care what you say. They just want to see how you behave. Yeah. Example is better than precept. Actions speak louder than words. So, here's another example of that kind of progression from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna is talking to Sudama Brahmana. Excuse me. Remember, they were boyhood friends at the Gurukula, Sandipani Muni's ashram. I was just there in Ujjain. Very sweet place. Quote, my dear friend, this is Krishna to Sudama, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. Well, I guess that's in Vedic culture, right? You're lucky if you make it out of the womb in Kali Yuga. You might be aborted, right? So many abortions these days. They even have that in India, right? Oh my God. I once saw Prabhupada say that. Prabhupada is saying, Kali Yuga is so bad. Even in the womb, Prabhupada said, and he took his hand and he started twisting it like he had a knife in his hand. Even in the womb, they are coming after you with knives. Even in the womb, this is Kali Yuga. So, but in the spiritual culture, from Krishna saying to Sudama, the one who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. And he who initiates him as a twice born Brahman and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master, but the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. So, the emphasis again on shiksha, the essence of guru is teaching. Whichever guru, shiksha or diksha, commits to giving us the most guidance naturally becomes more prominent in our lives. Now, having examined the oneness and difference among gurus, we're ready to look at how all true gurus are really different manifestations of Krishna's mercy. Let's take a look at that. There's Narada Muni, who's arriving to instruct Srila Vyasadeva, once playing the part of the guru, and one's playing the part of the disciple. Here's a literary incarnation of God playing the part of the disciple, right? All right. Can you want to read that?
I first offer my respectful obeisance at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my spiritual master.
Right, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says this, quote, a devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master. Because in the scriptures, acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. Do we do that in ISKCON? Sometimes people take reinitiation. It's not actually standard. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. That's where you can have more than one. Now here's the line that's very interesting. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. What does Prabhupada mean by generally? Because this is not what happens in ISKCON very often. Right? I'll read it again. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. What does Prabhupada mean by generally? What does that mean?
Regular practice of that system.
Generally. What does generally mean?
Applicable to all.
Usually. This is the standard. Historically, that's the way it works. You know, you have, like in a village, you have a village guru, and then you have, he's instructing people, and then they get faith in him, they see how he lives the teachings, he walks his talk, as we say. And then they take diksha, right? But ISKCON is, even in Prabhupada's time, I was telling how when, before many of you came in the room, that when once a godbrother of mine said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I just want to be by your lotus feet." And what did Prabhupada say?
"My lotus feet are always moving."
Yes, that will be very difficult. My lotus feet are always moving. So, there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility between prospective guru and prospective disciple to examine each other before there's an initiation. So how did Prabhupada delegate that responsibility? He couldn't personally examine people who were coming to his movement all over the world. So on whom did he depend for that examination? Temple presidents. His temple presidents would vet, they would observe, they would examine the sincerity of a candidate, and then he'd make the recommendation and Prabhupada would accept that. So even the first generation of devotees in ISKCON, that's what Prabhupada did. So, but traditionally, whoever's giving the most instruction, the shiksha, becomes the diksha. Now that works when you do have millions of gurus. We've got less than 100 people in ISKCON doing that service. But this is to give you a hint of the kind of society Prabhupada would like us to become, where there is the local people initiating. That's more kind of normal, standard. All right. Let's see here. I'll just underline that by reading this. In this last sentence, where Prabhupada said that generally, whoever's giving the most shiksha becomes the diksha, Prabhupada indicates the natural normative guru-disciple relationship sustainable over time. To help our guru-disciple culture become more local and sustainable, we need to train and empower, as Prabhupada said, quote, millions of gurus worldwide to act as local spiritual masters, initiating and instructing, as Srila Prabhupada has indicated. Now one may wonder, is the categorical status of a shiksha guru any less than that of a diksha guru? Because we tend to place more emphasis in ISKCON on the diksha, right? If someone initiates, that's considered very exalted. And if somebody's instructing, maybe we think that's not as exalted or something. You could think like that. Let's see. Oop. So, Prabhu, you want to read that?
Okay. one should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greater deity of the Lord.
Now in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within, he teaches as Paramatma, our constant companion, and from without, he teaches from the Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. And then Prabhupada says, there is no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord and the initiating and instructing spiritual masters. And now he raises the point to a warning. Listen to this. If one foolishly discriminates between them, thinking one's higher and one's lower, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. There's no difference between Shiksha and Diksha Guru. If they're actually Guru, if they're actually teaching the right stuff and practicing what they preach. Now, as the next two slides remind us, the essence of initiation and instruction is the transference of Krishna consciousness. This is a beautiful insight into what initiation is really about, right from the 10th canto, right at the time of Krishna's birth. And I somehow overlooked this, but then in the course of my research for this seminar, somebody pointed this out to me, and it's a beautiful example of what initiation is really about. There's the famous painting of Krishna being born, first as Vishnu and then two-armed. The transference of Krishna consciousness is the essence of initiation and instruction. So, who would like to read that? Would you like to read?
Thereafter, accompanied by planetary expansions.
Plenary means fully empowered.
Plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki.
Yes.
Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudev, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon.
Look at this. Devaki, having thus been initiated, she was initiated by Vasudev, because Vasudev, he became fully potent in his meditation on Krishna with Krishna consciousness. And then his wife became a fertile receiver of that meditation from the mind and the heart of Vasudev. He transferred that meditation to Devaki. This is in Roman Catholicism, they have this doctrine. It's called the Immaculate Conception, that Christ was not born of seminal injection, but he also was born miraculously. His mother is a virgin, the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother. We also have the same thing. In Krishna culture, we have Krishna appearing miraculously. And it was a transference of Krishna consciousness. And that transference of Krishna consciousness is the initiation. That's what initiation is. Now here's what Prabhupada says. That's the verse. Now here's what Prabhupada says in the purport. That's just the verse. It's such a beautiful verse. And then Prabhupada comments that, quote, we should note carefully that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha initiation. This is her initiation. Ceremony. In prison. This is the prison, the original prison ministry right here. Thus, the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's own heart. When Prabhupada was initiated, I know when he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we're going to hear this in lesson 4, as Prabhupada said, so I accepted him immediately, not officially, but in my heart. There was a tangible change of heart in that first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And that was really the essence of initiation. Later on it became official. 11 years later. It took him 11 years to make that official. But that's what has to happen by the time we take initiation, or else it's not really initiation. It's just, I would say, a show bottle. They're just something official, you know. But that's really what initiation's all about. Okay. So, let's see here. So not only are gurus one and different, so is the guru and God. With dramatic, empowered genius, Srila Prabhupada was able to communicate this subtle spiritual truth, the oneness and difference of God and guru. Not only are gurus one and different, right? We just heard how guru is one, but gurus are different. But all gurus are one and different from God, and Prabhupada very powerfully communicated this to his first followers. I don't know if you know how this happened, but you can read about it in the Lilamrita. Now, there is one of early photograph of Prabhupada. This is even before 26 Second Avenue. Do you know where Prabhupada was before he was at 26 Second Avenue? He was in a hellish place. Where was he? He was in a part of New York, an infamous part of New York. Do you know what it was called?
Bowery.
Bowery, the Bowery. Oh, it's even nicer now. It was worse when Prabhupada was there. You ever heard of the term Skid Row? Skid Row, it's an expression, American English. I mean, this is the lowest of the low. This is where the bums, excuse me, the homeless. I got to be politically correct, right? This is where the lowest drunks and winos hang out. You know, it's terrible. There's garbage everywhere and it smells and, you know. And Prabhupada, he, you know, such exalted person, and he had the compassion to go in the depths of New York. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any friends. He had one acquaintance, this impersonal yogi, Dr. Ramamurti Mishra. Dr. Mishra gave him a place to stay at his yoga studio. That lasted a while, and then he had to get his own place because it was too much being with an impersonal yogi, you know. So Prabhupada, he stayed with a crazy hippie on 94 Bowery Street. Yeah, 94. And you know how Prabhupada got in the door? He had to step over the drunks that were always crowding the steps. And if they were awake, they'd see him, and out of respect, they'd roll over, you know, with their wine bottles. And Prabhupada, he had such compassion to step into that. You know, he was happy in Vrindavan, but he was so surrendered to the order. You'll see as the seminar goes, I was so surrendered to the order of Guru and Krishna. Okay, so your Prabhupada is in the Bowery, and this is June 1966. He's gone from the Upper West Side, which is a relatively comfortable part of the town. Dr. Mishra, he was catering to the, as we say, the hoity-toities, the upper crust, the rich and the famous. He was their guru, you know. But Prabhupada, he had the compassion to go downtown, where the action was, where the counterculture was mushrooming and exploding So he had some listeners at the Bowery. He was willing to go down there to preach to the young people. There were young people there, and the word got around, you know. So the word also got to the local underground newspaper called the Village Voice, and a reporter named Howard Smith, and the photographer who later became a famous photographer named Fred McDara, who took many famous photos of what was called counterculture figures. They heard there was an authentic Swami in the Lower East Side of New York City, and they went down to do a story on him. And they did a beautiful story. They got it. They were very impressed by Prabhupada. And the story said that, you know, there's a Swami here who's about to start a major spiritual religion, you know, movement. They really got it. So this is one of the because Prabhupada's looking very alone here, but very determined. He looks very vulnerable, doesn't he? I mean, he's all alone in this place. You know, 94 Bowery. And he later had to run away because the hippie turned on him on a bad acid trip. And he called up Michael, who became Mukunda. You know, Mukunda Maharaj, we know. And, "Can you get me my own place, Michael? I can't stay here." He had to run away and go to another house. He had to go to hellish. So, how did Srila Prabhupada introduce the oneness and difference of Guru and God? So at the end of June, finally, they got 26 Second Avenue for Swamiji. And in a caravan of young people, they carried his belongings from 94 Bowery to 26 Second Avenue. It was several blocks. They carried it on their heads and their arms. And they walked over there on July 1, 1966. And less than 2 weeks later, Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON. He had his own place. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was just a little hole in the wall next to a gas station. It was nothing. He didn't know how the next month's rent was going to come, you know. So bold. So all that summer, Swamiji Prabhupada preached. And then on September 7th or 8th, whatever Janmashtami was, I think it was the 8th, it was Janmashtami. And Prabhupada told the people, you know, the hippies, that now, today is Krishna's birthday, and we're going to fast.
Fast? Oh, yeah.
And don't worry, you know, sometimes we'll sing, and sometimes I'll tell you stories about Krishna's pastimes, and sometimes we'll chant on beads, you know, so try to fast, you know. I mean, Krishna, he didn't appear till midnight, so it's going to be a long day. So, you know, if you're going to faint, if you're going to pass out, you know, there's a little fruit in my refrigerator upstairs, because behind the storefront, you go out of the storefront, you go behind the storefront, a little courtyard, and then up there was an apartment, and that's where Swamiji stayed. There was two places: the storefront where he preached, and the apartment where he lived. And he had a little fridge, and then there was some fruit in the fridge. So Prabhupada said, if you get tired, you know, you can go take a piece of fruit, but try to fast, you know. And then, this is how it's told in the Leelamrita, listen to this. This is how Prabhupada introduced the oneness and difference of God and Guru. Brilliant. Quote, on Janmashtami Day, 1966, I think it's September 8th, Srila Prabhupada announced on the eve of the first initiations, so Prabhupada, he said, tomorrow we're going to have initiation. They didn't know what he's talking about. Initiation? Initiation means that the spiritual master accepts the student, this is Swamiji telling his people, and agrees to take charge. And the student accepts the spiritual master and agrees to worship him as God. He paused. No one spoke. Any questions? And when there were none, he got up and walked out. Now, when Prabhupada said, you know, this disciple accepts the spiritual master as God, he did that deliberately. He wanted to see how they would respond. They were stunned. Completely stunned. Because all summer they'd been hearing that anybody who says he's God, he's dog. Right? they couldn't quite distinguish, make out what Prabhupada was saying. And now, what did they? So what did they do? When Swamiji walked out of that storefront and walked behind and through the courtyard up to his apartment, they were like, "Hey, man, did you hear that, man? Swami dropped a bomb, man. I don't know if I can go ahead with this, man." They didn't know what to make of it. Now, there was one of the students who wasn't there. He was in a famous mental institution several blocks away, Bellevue Hospital. His parents had tricked him into signing himself in because he was the first devotee to wear a dhoti and shave his head. It was Kirtanananda, Keith, right? So the parents thought he was nuts. So somehow they tricked him to signing himself in. So Keith wasn't there. Keith was in the loony bin. You know, he was in the mental hospital. So Wally, who had heard Swamiji say, you know, we got to accept the spiritual master as God. That's what initiation means. Walks over to the Bellevue, and he gets a little visiting time with Keith, and said, "Hey, Keith, Swami just dropped a bomb. He said, you know, tomorrow we're going to have something called initiation, and it means that we accept the spiritual master as God." So Keith is pretty shrewd. He's pretty smart. So he says, "Well, you know, we're already accepting everything he says as the absolute truth. So we may as well accept him as God. What's the problem?" Well, Wally wasn't quite satisfied. So Wally walks back to the storefront and he approaches Howard. Wally, Keith, and Howard, they were all roommates in this place called Mott Street, near 26 Second Avenue. Howard's an English professor. He's got a big body. He's got big, long Shakespearean hair and has a booming voice. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. So Wally says to Howard, "Howard, will you please go ask Swami, the Swami, what he means? We got to accept him as God." So Howard goes up. Later, Howard approached Srila Prabhupada for clarification. Now, you have to know Howard. Howard became Hayagriva later, and I knew Hayagriva. He was quite a character. He's since passed on, but he was quite an amazing person. "Does what you told us this morning," Howard asked, "mean we are supposed to accept the spiritual master to be God?" And then Swamiji says, "That means he is due the same respect as God, God's representative." Prabhupada replied calmly. Now we sing it every morning at Mangalarti. What verse of Gaurvastakam says that the spiritual master is the same as God? Sakshad Hari. Sakshad Hari Twa. As not that he is God, but like God. It's like if the American ambassador to India were to walk in the room, we'd all respect him as America. He's representing America. He's the ambassador. So it's the same idea. Spiritual master is God's ambassador. But then Howard, he wanted to make sure he understood. "Then he is not God?" "No," Prabhupada said. Let's see, why don't you read?
"God is God. The spiritual master is his representative. Therefore, he is as good as God because he can deliver God to the sincere disciple. Is that clear?"
And it was clear. And so they went ahead and they had the first initiation. Not that they really understood so much, because we know that first few initiations, Prabhupada, he stressed the chanting more than anything. I mean, he mentioned the rules, you know, the four rules, he mentioned them. But he stressed the chanting more. It wasn't until a few initiations later that one of the first initiates approached Swamiji and said, "Swamiji, you said there's something, you mentioned that there's rules the rule, what are the rules to this club, you know? And we know the date that this was Wali. Wali asked this. Wali became Womapati. And so Swamiji's reaction was, very good boy, very good boy. You know, I thought you'd never ask. Right? Because Swamiji knew that when they were ready, then they would follow the rules. So when they asked for the rules, then Prabhupada really made it official, because the next day, Prabhupada, on the bathroom door in 26 Second Avenue, posted the rules. And to this day, you can see this notice. Like if you go to Mayapur, maybe you have it here. It says, all initiated devotees must... You ever see this? It's in Prabhupada's own handwriting. All initiated devotees must avoid all kind of intoxicating habit, including coffee, tea, and cigarettes. Must chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. Must not mix intimately with non-devotees. It's like a little mini Hare Bhakti Vilas, you know, for the Lower East Side of New York City. So that's how Prabhupada introduced the oneness and difference of God and Guru. Okay. We come to question time. Good. Now, by the end of the lesson, the students will be able to identify different usages of the word guru, from popular to perfect. So there's popular, natural, literal, and then perfect. Remember that? That sequence. Explain why we need a guru. Why do we need a guru? In a nutshell, because we're confused. We don't know who we are, where we are, why we are, what we are. Right? We don't know. We need help. Explain how gurus are one. How are gurus one?
It has the same message.
Same way. One in message with Krishna. And also how they're different. They differ by
dealings,
role, qualification, commitment. You remember, who was Prabhupada's Vartma Pradarshaka Guru beside his father, who he dedicates the Krishna book to, pure devotee of the Lord, Gormohan Day? Certainly he was in, but who introduced Srila Prabhupada to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta?
His friend.
Yes. You know. Okay. Narendranath Mullik. Naren. Prabhupada told us in one lecture that he was always the leader of his group, somehow or other. He was always the leader. And so they had all met, all his friends had met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They'd all had darshan. Except Abai hadn't met him. But so, and they all thought he was great, but they were withholding their judgment until the leader, you know, met. So Naren Prabhupada said, I didn't want to go. I'd seen so many so-called gurus and swamis, and Prabhupada was disillusioned because his father was so... Prabhupada's father was so liberal, he'd always have these babas and these swamis over to the house. But most of them were just, Prabhupada said, most of them were just begging chapatis. They weren't really the real thing. And they were smoking bidi and ganja and all this stuff, you know. So Prabhupada did not want to meet another so-called sadhu. So Prabhupada said, my friend Naren, he had to drag me. He dragged me, you know. And we'll see this in Lesson 4, what happened at that meeting. So to the best of my knowledge, Narendranath Mullik, that was as far as he went. He was committed to introducing Abhai Charande to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. That's as far as it went. But it's a kind of guru. It's a kind of guru. And many people who are practicing Krishna consciousness today, they were introduced to Krishna consciousness by people who aren't practicing Krishna consciousness. But they thought, maybe it's interesting, or, yeah, why don't you come with me to the Sunday feast, or, you know, whatever. That's a kind of guru. That's a level of commitment. And then the one who initiates, but the one who's really giving us the most instruction tends to be more prominent in our lives. And of course, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, reading Prabhupada's books, he's our foundational Shiksha Guru. He's our core identity. and our Diksha and Shiksha gurus, if they're enriching that identity as Prabhupada Nugas, they are the most important people in our lives. Engaging us in his mission, helping us to worship his Murti, study his books, finding our mission in his mission. So when we're focusing on Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya, we're not minimizing other gurus like some people do. We're just putting everybody in perspective. Prabhupada's in the center and everybody else is revolving around him and our ISKCON. Okay, I'm going to stop now and I'm going to sit down in that chair. And if you have any questions or comments, before I do that, let me just give you a preview. Okay, so all Vaishnava guru-disciple relationships thrive under the shelter of the founder Acharya, the foundational spiritual master of a disciplic branch. In the next lesson, we'll examine the origin and development of the founder Acharya principle with a focus on our Gaudiya Vaishnav line. Okay. You have any questions or comments? And there's no such thing as a foolish question.
As you also told that we respect more the initiating spiritual master rather than a Siksha Guru. Then it has been seen that due to close proximity of Siksha Guru every time we are seeing. So that is the main reason, or?
Yeah, well, that tends to happen. That's very often why, that is why Prabhupada had so many different servants. Because even Prabhupada, you get close, and if you're too conditioned, which we are, what do we say? Familiarity breeds contempt. We tend to get too familiar. This is why Hari Shariprabhu was given us so many diary books, transcendental diary books, a glimpse into the life of Prabhupada as his personal servant. This is why he did leave Prabhupada's personal service. He became restless. He noticed he was getting too familiar. He didn't want to take that chance of committing offense. And so he did change the service not long before Prabhupada left. I think it was fall 75 to spring 77 that he was with Prabhupada. So it can happen even with the founder Acharya, but that is a danger. If you're with your Diksha Guru or Shiksha Gurus, is with anybody. So yeah, but we do need to build the Shiksha culture more in ISKCON. That's why, for example, in 1999, there's a nice book written 16 years ago by His Holiness Shivaram Swami, a Canadian devotee from Canada who's, of course, as you know, preaching and doing wonderful service in Hungary, preaching for so many years. And he wrote a book in 1999 called The Shiksha Guru, trying to help ISKCON expand its Shiksha culture. Because too often people are different from their, or distant from the Diksha Gurus, very often, because there aren't many of them, and they tend to be distant from their disciples. But there's so many mature devotees who are actually gurus, who could be gurus, Shiksha or Diksha. They just have to be recognized and encouraged to give more Shiksha to people. We need to build that kind of Shiksha culture. I'm sure in this Mirror Road Sangha you have many mature devotees who can act as guru, shiksha, or even diksha. But we're not expanding that so much. We need more. We need more people to act in that role. Because people, we need guidance, and we need to give guidance. You'll see the references as early as 1969, when Prabhupada introduced the concept of Bhakti Shastri. In 1969, when people hardly knew anything, the first books had just come out. And that was why Prabhupada did it. You're going to see in the next lesson how as soon as there were two books, there was Bhagavad Gita and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And immediately Prabhupada's talking about Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhoma. That's the equivalent of associates, bachelors, masters, and PhD. And he wants everybody to inherit the diploma, Prabhupada said, or the title of Bhakti Vedanta. And he wants everybody to initiate. Then he says, maybe by 1975, all my disciples, and he meant boys and girls. Oh, controversy, right? Maybe by 1975, they'll all be initiating. And he didn't say he'd be gone either. This is Prabhupada's mood. It's an emergency. The whole world's on fire. It's a madhouse. And it's crazier even than when Prabhupada was here. I mean, my God, it's insane. So, yeah, we need, Prabhupada said, millions of gurus. Yeah, familiarity breeds contempt. We have to watch that. Especially in the West, I think. I know every time I come to India, I see how there's a culture of respect more. Yes?
In one of the purports, it said Padma Pradarshika, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Is it in that order always?
In the purport.
Yeah,
it said it talked about the order. Yeah, let's go to the.
Then initiation, then instruction.
Yeah.
Is it in that order always?
Well, that's how the order was in this CC purport.
Yes.
Whoops. Oh, maybe it was in my.
Yeah.
That's it.
Previous.
Yeah.
Previous one. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just how life is. We're introduced. And then we associate, you know, what is it? Adoshadha, tataksadhu, the bhajana kriya. And then when we get really serious, we want to follow the path, then we take initiation. Now, the reason, I brought that up, and then in the very next, yeah, here it is. Okay. Yes, I highlighted the progression there from introducing to initiating to instructing, and then in the next slide, you know, we had Narada Muni, and then I had that sentence where, I'll just read it again, the paragraph. Quote, a devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master because in the scriptures acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. And then Prabhupada says that thing about generally, traditionally, organically, the way it naturally happens. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. That's just kind of historically the way it worked for millennia in India. You know, there was a guru, and then people heard from him, and they had faith, and then they took initiation. But ISKCON, you know, especially in ISKCON, we have this unique international society, you know, for Krishna consciousness, where we're all jetting around the world, and, you know, people fly in, initiate, fly out, and, you know. So, especially in this kind of an international sangha, as Prabhupada says, we need many millions of gurus because people need guidance, not just at initiation. Initiation means to begin. So how are you going to continue unless you get constant guidance? For example, I have a godbrother. He's been initiating for years. For years, his name was Krishnakshetra Brahmachari. You ever heard of Krishnakshetra? He just, last year he took sannyas. He's now Krishnakshetra Swami. He's an American-born devotee who joined in Europe. And for years he was preaching behind the Iron Curtain in the Cold War days in Eastern Europe. And then he has many disciples, different parts of the world, but especially in that part of the world, Eastern Europe. So he told me, he said, when I initiate people, because I know I'm not going to see them a lot, they're going to be distant from me physically, I say, now I'm your initiating spiritual master. I'm like your dad, right? And your parent. Now, wherever you are in the world, I want you to take good shiksha. He's encouraging his disciples to develop healthy shiksha relationships with advanced devotees so that they can not feel bereft, you know, neglected, abandoned. We need that. We need that ongoing shiksha. So this is the great challenge, you know, we have, one of the many challenges we have in ISKCON, to develop that shiksha culture. Not just casual, you know, not sometimes people make it a game. They take their questions to many different devotees just to see all the different opinions they can gather, right? And then they take the opinion they like. It's like somebody getting a doctor's opinion, and then you don't like that doctor's opinion, so you get another doctor's opinion. And they only, and then finally, when they hear an opinion they like, they go, okay, this is my doc. No, but if you're chaste to your dad, to your father, you'll also check out that opinion with your father. That's what Narahari Sankar said. You know, you'll take that. And if they all have the interest of this shishya, of the disciple at heart, then there's no envy or politics or competition or, you know, things that go on. And how does that go on? You're going to hear in Prabhupada's. The Mahavakya of this seminar, the great utterance, is cooperation. And to do that, we all have to foundationally identify as Prabhupada Anugas. That's who we are. That's like if you go down to Udupi. I lived around Udupi on and off for a couple of years, about 20 years ago. If you go to Udupi, if you ask any Vaishnav who he is, what's he going to say? I'm a Madhvite. I'm a Madhvite. When did Madhva live? 800 years ago. We're going to get into this in the next lesson, the founder of Acharya. We're going to look at the Madhvas and the Ramanujis. Yeah. And there's Vyasa instructing Madhva. And that's how it appears in our list, right? 5,000 years to only 800 years ago. That's a shiksha line right there. Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa. Wow! Yeah. So, but 800 years. But to this day, if you ask any of those devotees who they are, I am Madhvite. And my beloved Diksha Guru is, and my beloved Shiksha Gurus are. Why are they beloved? Because they enrich their identity as Madhvites. And that's how the line goes on. That's a big hint of how ISKCON can go on in a sustainable way. All right, finish. Same with the Ramanujis. If you ask any, you know, you ever been to Sri Rangam?
Yes.
If you ask any, you know, serious Ramanuji who he is, Amyan, Ramanuja, Dasan, I am your disciple. I am your servant. I am your servant. The servant of Ramanuja. Amyan, Ramanuja, Dasan. We're going to take a look at that next lesson in the Founder Acharya principle. So the way it all works is when everybody's grounded in that core identity, being with the Founder Acharya, and all our Shiksha Gurus and our Diksha Gurus, they're the most important people in our lives. Why? Because they enrich that identity. They engage us in the Founder Acharya's mission. They insist we read his books. They teach us how to worship his Murti every day in all of his temples all over the world. Yeah. That's why they're so important. Okay. And there's differences in relationships with one's Diksha Guru too. You know, the Diksha Guru, for example, who also happened to be the Varnaparadarshika Guru of a disciple of his, is going to have a different relationship with that disciple than some other person who read Prabhupada's books first and then only took initiation maybe 20 years later from this Diksha Guru. And that's happened in ISKCON. That's going to have a different flavor. And that's fine. That's just Krishna's way. Krishna's the Guru. But he brings us back to Godhead in so many different ways. You know, he works through all these different gurus. Shiksha, Diksha, Varpa Pradarshika, previous acharyas. When I was doing research, first research for this seminar in 2011, spring and summer, I asked the late, great Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, my godbrother. It was a great loss when he passed away for us. I said, Gopi Prabhu, who's the deliverer here? Is it the Diksha Guru? Is it the prominent Shiksha Guru? Is it the founder Acharya? I mean, Krishna says in the Gita, Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha yishyami, I will deliver you. I will give you moksha. Who is it? And so Gopi Pradhadara Prabhu said, well, I'm on a train in China at the moment, Sureshwara. I don't have all my references from Srila Jiva Goswami and, you know, all these Sandarbhas. But I know from studying Sri Jiva's Sandarbhas that I could not pin him down to one person. Because sampradaya vihinaye vantraste nishpalamata, unless one is initiated, receives initiation, excuse me, from a guru in a bona fide sampradaya, the full nishpalamata, the actual fruit of even chanting Hare Krishna, of the mantra, mantraste nishpalamata, we won't get it. It'll be like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So it Krishna's the guru, but he delivers us through his parampara system. The Adi Guru of the Sampradaya. Who's the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya? Brahma. Right? Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas. And then down, 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 and then Mahaprabhu. We're in a special extension of the Sampradaya. It's called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya, or Lord Chaitanya. He's Krishna himself, and he starts a whole, you know, special extension. You'll see, and this special extension, it's predicted that all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas will flow like rivers into the ocean of Mahaprabhu's. This is predicted in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, they say in Africa, you've heard this saying, it takes a village to raise a child. You've heard that famous saying. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, guess what? It takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka. It takes Krishna, previous acharyas, it takes initiating guru, it takes many instructing gurus. It takes a whole bunch of people. It takes a collective, cooperative effort. Ultimately, Prabhupada says he created ISKCON to foster those six loving exchanges. It takes each other. We need to be gurus, shelter for each other. Yeah. And different gurus play different roles. And it just depends on how it goes, you know. Life is not formulaic or stereotyped. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, And he always had a debt of gratitude to Bipin Bihari Goswami for initiating him. But just the way his life went, he became closer with Jagannath Das Babaji. Vaishnav Sarvabhauma Jagannath Das Babaji. That's just the way it happened. You know, that's what happened. Sometimes people feel betrayed by their initiate. It's happened in ISKCON's history, right? You know. and they want to get reinitiated. And Prabhupada says, it's illegal. You don't do that. You're already initiated. It's forbidden, Prabhupada said in that purport. That's a technicality. Bhakti True Maharaj told me, he said, so when someone approaches me for reinitiation, I tell them, look, you're already initiated. You don't need to be born again. You're already born. You're already connected with Prabhupada and the whole sampradaya. And but if you've been so traumatized, if you feel so betrayed, you know, if you feel so let down, if you feel like you can't go on unless you do this, then okay, I'll reinitiate you. But just know that you're already connected. Yeah, that's a higher principle. The higher principle is what's going to help a person go on, advance. It's like with sannyas. In the seventh canto, at the end of the seventh canto, there's a word vantashi. It means someone who takes sannyas, but then leaves sannyas to again take up household life, you know, or worldly life, is considered an eater of his own vomit. He's vomited out his worldly life, and now he's eating his own. That's at the end of the seventh canto. At the beginning of the eighth canto, in the Gajendra Leela, Prabhupada said, so, just as Gajendra, the elephant, he was out of his element, he was losing to the crocodile in the fight, in the water, he was out of his element. So, he was losing. An elephant can beat a crocodile any day of the week, but not in the water, he couldn't. So then Prabhupada very compassionately said, so if you find you're out of your element in the sannyas ashram, and that was happening, you know, people were sannyas and they couldn't handle it. They were young men. So Prabhupada said, so go to the grihastha ashram. And we just finished talking about vantashi in the seventh canto purport. But a higher principle is compassion. What's going to help a person continue in his Krishna consciousness, continue coming closer to Krishna? So he invited the person who left sannyas to go to the grihastha ashram. Fight. You know, we say, wear white and fight. Don't give up. Don't give up the fight. So it's extraordinary. You know, these adjustments that are made sometimes by Guru and Krishna.
We just saw that initiation means transference of Krishna consciousness. Mm. Now, why does it take so long to happen to the fullest? What makes the transference slow?
Well, it's like if someone, Prabhupada gave this example too, if a girl is married and then immediately she wants a child. And Prabhupada said, no, first, well, especially in the old Indian system, you know, first they live, they're young, and they live at the parents, the groom's parents, right, the boy's house, and then they grow up, you know, and then they're married when they're young, and then they get attached to each other, and then you have to be patient, and then by and by the girl learns how to serve the husband, and then he's gives her a child eventually, but you can't. So initiation means to begin. So it takes time. I'll tell you how Prabhupada once bluntly answered a question that's similar to yours. It was Steve, who became Satsvarupa Brahmachari, who became Satsvarup Das Goswami, who wrote Prabhupada's Leelamrita. He told me he once asked Swamiji, Swamiji, if Krishna is all attractive, then why is it so hard to surrender to him? Without missing a beat, Swamiji said, because you hate him. Wow. Well, it takes time to recover from that envy, huh? Since time immemorial, we've been competing with Krishna, trying to be the enjoyer, the controller of the material world, of this world. So it takes time to recover. This is a good metaphor for this place. This is where Bhaktivedanta Hospital is. So Prabhupada, he would compare Krishna consciousness to a hospital for the heart. And the diet was Krishna prasadam and the medicine was chanting Hare Krishna. So it takes time to recover. It doesn't happen immediately. You see again and again in the literature, gradually. And Krishna says in the Gita, Shanai Shanai, gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should control it. How is that? 625. Shanai Shanai Rupurame Buddhya Vritigrihitaya Atma Sangstam Manakritva Nakinchida Pichintaye. Yeah, gradually it happens. It doesn't happen overnight. Yeah, it takes time to recover. So, is that alright?
I'm sorry, I'm bombarding you with questions.
Well, nobody else is. We better, we're approaching 9. It's getting late.
If we are connected to the disciplic succession in this birth, are we going to be by default connected with the disciplic succession in the forthcoming births also?
That's kind of like the question, what happens if I don't make it all the way, you know, are you? So Prabhupada would be asked, do you have to come back, Prabhupada, you know, to save me? And Prabhupada would answer those questions in different ways, interestingly enough. Because when people would ask, this is why you never knew how Prabhupada was going to answer a question. Because he would not just answer the content of the question, he would answer the intent of the questioner. He knew, he could read minds, he could read hearts, he knew the mentality of the questioner. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, yes, I have to come back and save you, so don't make me come back. Right? Or with one letter where Prabhupada said, about your question, there was a whole bunch of questions and that was one of them. You know, does the spiritual master come back to save the disciple? So in this letter, Prabhupada said, about question 5, I am still thinking about it. In other words, don't count on it. Don't count on me coming back to save you, you know. Don't, as Prabhupada would criticize the Christians, don't make me a doormat to wipe your sins. You know, charge it to Jesus. Jesus has saved me and now I can do anything I want. But I just believe in Jesus, therefore I'm going to heaven. You know, don't play games like that. What do we say that is? We say it every morning in Marathi. I disappear because I don't understand Marathi. I start chanting by Japa. Yeah. Namno balad yasi hi papa buddhi. Committing sin and the strength of chanting. When Krishna's not so... Krishna knows what we're doing, you know. It's one thing to be weak and to succumb, you know, circumstantially to desires and commit some, but to make it a policy, you know, to sin and then think, oh, this is very good business. I'll do this sin and then I'll just chant Hare Krishna and it'll be wiped away. That's committing sin in the strength of chanting. That's the worst offense. Yeah. All right. Any other questions before we break? Thank you for coming. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.